Hola, amigos. Welcome to the Add to Houston podcast, a podcast for young professionals in the marketing and advertising industry here in Houston. My name is Alex. I am your host, as well as Cameron Newhouse, my VP, and Jacob right next to me, not across the room.
Hey.
There he is. And today we have a very special guest with us today, our new social media chair, Delaney. Hi, Delaney.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here. Is this the first time you're in a podcast episode?
Honestly, yeah. With this whole like setup, I'm a little shook. So
you know,
this is like the full experience.
Absolutely. And you're in an iHeart. You're in an iHeart Media station.
Yeah. So it's really nice. This is a nice station for sure.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you here. This is actually my second time coming here. We're usually at Radio Lounge, and the setup there is also as nice. If anything, we have more mics there, but you know, we're doing a fun hot potato situation. But yeah, I mean, we're really excited to have you here, and let's kind of kick things off with just a simple question. At two. So tell us, when did you got involved with us, and how did you hear about us?
Okay, yeah. So being newer to Houston, I guess I didn't know anybody. I'm an extrovert, so I'm like, how am I going to meet people in this industry? You know, so you kind of have to do like some underground like work, like research. Things aren't going to be like handed to you. So you kind of just have to, especially if you're new in a big city, like you're going to have to like do your own research and like look things up, you know, like where, you know, you are into, you know, like being in advertising. Yeah. Career wise, and you know, I'm done with college, so it's not like I'm gonna go to a local college and like try to like get involved because like I'm not a student anymore. So I just like researched, you know, I just like got on Google and I was like advertising clubs or like advertising. And so you guys pulled up Add to Houston, and I think I messaged, I saw that a friend of mine that I went to college with, that's how it happened.
Yes, Raven.
Raven.
Raven introduced us initially last year around the time when we were doing our bowling tournament, I believe. And following that, we talked, maybe we had one introduction. We were like, oh, do you think you can come? Oh, do you think you can bring your friends from Carlsbad? Maybe. Okay. Well, see you then. And then.
Exactly. But
obviously, you know, life gets in the way, or there's always complications and things kind of happen. But you know, you did come to us at our pickleball tournament, actually.
Oh, that's right.
That was probably the biggest surprise. And you mentioned, yeah, we talked once. So I was like, wait a minute. Oh my God, Raven's right. So
I think I knew. I mean, I definitely knew your name, but like putting your face to your name, I was like, oh, okay. And then
we did play together. We were a team.
Yeah, we were a team. And I noticed like Alex is very involved. And he knows so many people. And like, when you go to a place where you know nobody, I kind of like clung to Alex because he knew everyone. And I was like, oh, he can introduce me to this person, that person, that person. And same with Cameron. Like, I remember when I met Cameron, like,
At the pickleball.
Yeah, at the pickleball. I was like, she's involved. And I just kind of knew by like your demeanor. I was like, she knows people. So I was like, okay, taking notes, you know, that's and funny, so yeah. It's this weird part of life where like you are looking for a network, but like, I also want some friends. I want like, some freaking friends.
You're going to be more intentional about it, you know, not just like, hey, I need to know you because you know people, you know, it's like, I mean, that's a plus. Like, I just want to know you as a person and be a friend.
And we people tend to be more involved, like, I don't know if it's just how we, like, at school, if we were all overachievers or something, or if we just were in all the little clubs. And I can kind of speak, like, I was trying to join all the little clubs, especially in college. Like, I guess because it freaking looks good on your resume. And it's like, we just are set up to this headspace of, like, okay, how can we be the best in our careers as young college, you know, grads? And it's like, you just, that's just what happens. And you tend to just go towards the people that are like-minded as you and who want to get involved as well. And so that's what I would say Add to Houston definitely is. I think we set the stage up really well.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah,
we awesome. We do our best. And if anything, we try to bring a variety of people. I think the biggest hurdle that a lot of people find with us is that they think, oh, we're a club for 32 and under. But no, you have, there's everybody's open. If anything, our affiliation with the Advertising Federation makes it more transparent. Like, we are able to tell people or remind them, saying, no, please come. Network, make friends. We'd love to chat. We're not here to sell you anything. If anything, it's more of just like it's a nice space. We try to make it more accommodating by doing programs like Beers with Peers. Sometimes the only downside is, like, how can we proactively make something more consistent to add on to it so that we don't just have the one event once a month. Maybe we could have, like, one that's a networking drinking social and another one that's something completely different.
Yeah. That's a good point. Like, maybe implementing more diverse, you know, activities.
Yeah, like get-togethers.
Get-togethers.
Yeah, like, if once we have, like, we have a total of 30 people in our membership. And, you know, that's fantastic. The only downside is not every one of those members are able to come to our events, or sometimes they pay for a membership, but they are not able to get the full benefit of that community. And it's, you know, it's disheartening at times. But, you know, we want to encourage and we want to stay transparent, saying, hey, we understand you're not able to make it to this one, but come to the next one or make time in your calendar, plan ahead. Hopefully you're not traveling out of the state, out of the city, or work, just somehow you don't have to do overtime.
Alex, I'm like staring through this little crack on the computers. Like, in the studio, there's two computers.
There are two computers. And
I'm just looking at Alex through this tiny little crevice.
Yes. Hi.
This whole time. Okay, perfect. That's a little better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
All right.
Okay, so obviously you've become very involved in Ad2, and now you're our social media chair. So what was the pull, or what made you really want to jump into this role and, you know, help out?
That's a good question. I just knew in general I wanted to be more involved. I didn't realize that I would, you know, I don't know if you asked me, Alex, or if
I showed interest,
but...
I asked you initially when we had a call after our pickleball thing, asking when we had our pickleball tournament. I asked, are you still interested in being involved with the org? Like,
oh, that's member? Right. Yeah.
And then I said, okay, let me get back with you. Mm-hmm. Also, a side note for anybody that's that I've mentioned and had these conversations with them in the past. It's not that I forget. I just have, I get overwhelmed like anybody. But I was able to follow up with Delaney because we really needed a social media chair to help out with content and planning and managing some of these materials that we're creating.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a call with you. We talked a little bit about ourselves, like, we shared interests. I expressed what we needed, and I asked, like, what would you feel comfortable doing?
Yeah.
And then you mentioned social media. I was like, oh, fantastic.
That's exactly how it happened. Like, he was just kind of like feeling out like my interests and everything. I'm a brand manager, so like, or account manager, you can call it either or in the industry. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes back and forth. But I know that, you know, in my role right now, I don't focus on social media like I did in my previous run. So I was like, where can I jump into where I can kind of, you know, get back into that a little more? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it happened.
Man. Awesome. Yeah, it's like, it was a very nice twist. Like, I was really happy to see that aligned. And you know, you expressed a lot of you used to do work with Lopez Negrete as well, with social media.
Exactly.
And then you mentioned, you know, you're doing brand management and everything with Carlberg, and I thought, hey, there's a lot that Delaney can bring onto the table, especially with managing the content and how can we optimize our materials. I'm just making sure you can see me.
It's okay.
But yeah, I think if anything, we're getting our grooves in. We're just working on our pipeline, just to make sure that we're able to express, hey, what can we do better here? Can we meet our schedules? Can we plan copy and have enough time for our creative team to make the assets to go out?
Yeah.
And then how can we get better at making other contents like reels and all that stuff? That's still a work in progress.
That's what's interesting about this club too, is that there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, it's
compared
intense
to other clubs, I think, because you know, finance and like business and like lawyers. There's like so many of them, I feel like, and I don't even think they go this hard in their clubs. because they're like, we know we got a job to do. We're going to go, you know, I have court at, you know, 2 o'clock. It's just a different mindset in other industries is what I'm trying to get my point across. And so with Ad Club, you know, we, as people in advertising, we have so many different little skills in our career.
Yeah.
And when you put it all together with other people, it's really nice. And you get to just grow to your best potential. And you have so many like lanes that you can go into in our industry, which is really cool. So I think that's why like people in advertising like just go hard and they're so detail minded and detail oriented.
Oh man.
I think we go hard a little bit on the events and the promotion stuff because that's what we do. We're like, oh yeah, let's make graphics. Let's get like bandanas made. Let's get
a voice actress to record a radio ad.
All the different aspects of advertising.
Yeah.
Kind of just comes through and it's fun and like creative for us too. So
we also have to be mindful with our time management as well. Like we always have all these ideas and I think people in the community are so open to allowing us to use their spaces. Like for example, with iHeartMedia, Jacob works here. We're able to pull that string
Pop off, Jacob.
They use the plug. And we also have Ray, who also lets us use his studio space as well, which is, you know, we're super grateful for. That's where we normally do all of our episodes. And sometimes, like, what I really want to get into doing is maybe working on art directions for some of our promotional materials. Like, maybe we can do really cool branded materials with photo ops, doing all that fun stuff, trying to see, like, maybe there might be times where we can ask a favor for a photo studio. I mean, there's a lot of people that lately have been getting involved with the Advertising Federation, like Kari from Captive Creative or The One Studio. A lot of those guys are really nice. And maybe eventually there might be a time where we could always just reach out and say, hey, would it be cool if we bring our own team, use the space during a weekend or something for fun? But obviously, I think it just comes down to our time, our plan.
What's really hurts us is the freaking time.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, it's time. And also just being able to communicate effectively. Like, what was it? You know, I remember there was this one time when I was like, okay, we're going to talk on Slack. And I remember Delaney left a message and nobody responded back to Delaney. And I'm just like, ah!
Well, and I also understand because people are busy.
Yeah.
Because we always overstack our schedules just... by second nature, I guess.
Yeah, that tends to happen.
We all like to be busy, and you know, that's another thing. Like, if you do want to come to Add to Houston events, like there's always something that we can help you out with or talk about. You know, and we're always here to extend an open hand, and that's a big like goal for me. Like, as we get older and stuff, just being really there for the next generation, and like these little young birds on the rise.
Oh, yeah.
And, like...
Don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like we've got really good... We were so fortunate to get, like, good, you know, peers among us. And people like Candy.
Oh, yes. Candy is a titan.
People like Candy. Like, those people who genuinely care. And it's just, like, it's really motivating. And so I want to be, like, a Candy. For the next little baby birds coming up.
Aww. Yeah. So. If anything, I'm sure Kenny will find that super heartwarming. And I, you know, like, even when I first joined the club, like, I had a very keen interest with people like Dwight Douthit or Kay Krennic. They've been pillars of the club in terms, or even Joni. That they all been doing their part for a better part of years in creating or establishing the Federation as it is here in Houston, at least with AAF, organizing the advertising awards, creating those happy hour social events in the beginnings. If anything, those were kind of like my key cornerstones as well when I first joined the club was, or when I first became president, was how can I bring that openness back to the club, getting people involved. Right. If anything, we're going to have to get better at doing some of these things moving forward. But, you know, I think, like you had mentioned, we're in a good pace now. Hopefully we'll get better at reaching out, asking for help. I think that's my other issue is like, we got to get better at asking for help from my perspective.
Yeah.
You know, actually, aside from asking for help, Let's jump back into the past for a minute. So can you tell us a little bit about your childhood, or did you always want to work in advertising?
No, I didn't really know that advertising was, this made me sound like so dumb, but I really didn't know that like there were so many legs behind advertising.
Mm-hmm.
That really makes me sound stupid.
No, but it's so true. Like, same for me. Like, you really, everything is so behind the scenes that you just don't know. You see a billboard and you're like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You don't think about how that got there. You know? Like, it's just honestly, like, okay, awesome.
The amount of times I had to go through QA just to go.
Honestly. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty much like, I really didn't know it was a thing. I didn't know, you know, it was like a big deal. And there's so many people that, you know, work in this industry. So I was more sore. I was more so interested in film. And being behind the camera and being in a little studio, you know, and just working closely with people, you know, I just loved cameras and photography and videography. I still do, you know, and not to put a little plug in, but I had a YouTube channel.
Really?
I had a YouTube channel as like a middle schooler, just being like just silly. I like vlogged and like just, you know, just posting random things like, here's what I'm wearing today, you know, little things like that. And so that low-key continued until high school. And then I was like, I kind of want to start a podcast, you know, just kind of just going off the rails, like doing whatever I want. And it just being that creative, like silly side of me and just like pulling that out, that was fun. And I do miss that. But then when I got to college, I was like, you know, I don't know about you guys, but my parents, mostly my dad, he was just like, you want to make money in your life.
Yeah.
This isn't going to pay the bills.
I heard that a lot when I wanted to do animation initially, and my mom just said, animators don't get paid a lot, Alex. But yeah. I'm just like, they do, but that's okay.
So yeah, and I feel like that's so relatable. Like, parents always want the best for you, you know, yada yada. But it's just like at the end of the day, they're like, you want to be able to make a lot of money and be comfortable. And like, I get it and I respect that and thank you very much. But it's just like, we also want to be able to fulfill our interests, you know, and you're going to go into a career. I mean, here's kind of the stage that like you kind of grow up knowing is like, you're going to be in the same career for your entire life. So you better choose wisely, you know? And so it's, but they don't know that people can change. Yeah. People can jump around, you know, that's why there's degrees like, you know, like for instance, mass communications. I got my master's in that. Mm-hmm. I knew that I can do whatever I pretty much want with that. You can go into healthcare, you can go into mental health, you can go into advertising, you know, different realms. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like the beauty of this next generation coming up is like, you, they're just kind of telling everybody, you can do anything you want and you can always jump around. Mm-hmm. There's nobody saying, holding a gun to your head, you know, saying like, you got to stick with this career for the rest of your life.
Make a choice or break
it. Exactly. And so that's kind of like a thing. Oh man, I forgot my train of thought. I don't know what the first question was. But honestly, like, that is a thing though that, you know, I just want to be able to tell other people, like, just because you start somewhere, you can always change it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just be open to new possibilities. Don't set yourself up for just one career for the rest of your life, especially if you stop enjoying it. So, so then I got into advertising because there is a major at the college I went to. I went to Texas Tech. And it was advertising. And I was like, I have no idea what to expect with this one. So it turns out, I mean, it's a mix of what I wanted, you know, just like it takes us back to like how diverse our industry is. You could either be on the creative side, you know, just going into like a studio like this, or even like Cameron, you work with like the cameras and stuff, like in a photography studio.
Yeah, they do a lot of like commercial work there too, and that is advertising, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's still under that umbrella of advertising. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to swear. But yeah, it's still under that, you know, realm of advertising and, you know, being on any side you want. And I think that's what really pulled me in to advertising. I didn't change my major. I think I still – Well, yeah, I did change my major. It was, the original one was called electronic media. And then I switched it to media strategies because that one had more advertising courses that you can take.
Oh, cool.
And so I did that. And then I decided to minor in advertising. In human resources. You want to know why I got into human resources? It's because her counselor talked me into it. She said, you just have one more course to take, and then you will be able to have a human resources minor. I said, girl, sign me up. I was like, I'll do it. I'll take that one last course. And so I got that under my belt. And I guess, who knows how that will help me, but like, I have no idea. And then I went to grad school because it was COVID, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what can I do, you know? And my counselor was like, well, there's this online master's degree. It takes you a year to do. And I was like, girl, I'll do it. I was like, I got nothing else to do in COVID. Like, we were all depressed. We were all inside, you know, like such a crazy time. So I kind of took that, you know, to the best I could and got a master's. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it.
No, that's a really cool, that's a really cool transition as well. Like, you... Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, instead of like picking up a new hobby or doing something, well, I'm not saying you didn't pick up any new skills. What I'm saying is like you were more focused on your career in that sense, and you took the time to find a online master's degree program that you were able to complete. Was it with the same university too?
Yes.
So even better. And if anything, like you got a lot out of that, I suppose. Like, does that does that master's actually help you out with your current job at Carlsberg?
It actually does. Like, girls, that's what made me get a raise.
Oh.
So BRB pop going off. To look up master's.
Pop off. And maybe that is, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to just say it's, like, yes or no. Like, this will get you a raise.
Yeah, but it's not, like, automatic. Exactly. Like, yeah, you have to show the work.
You have to show the work. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know... But that was a thing. It just kind of, I don't know, guys. I don't want to say that it shows something better or different. But it's just, I guess because it was a master's in mass communications, it made me understand the research side. It was a lot of research and like mask, you know, like, man, what was it about? Gosh. It was just a lot of like research and advertising and like media strategy. Learning about strategies but now in the career, you know, it was just like reading out of a textbook, but now like that we're actually in our careers, you know, you learn about traditional media by doing it, you learn about digital media by doing it, and like here we are in a studio,
everything's just more practical learning.
Exactly.
You're in it.
Yeah. So
yeah. Well, very cool. Very cool. So you went to school in Lubbock. Where are you originally from?
I'm from the Dallas area. It's a suburb called Midlothian. I always just tell people Dallas, though, because it's just shout out to my small town peoples. Because it's always just a little hassle because they're like, what is it? Where is that? It's just like, I'm from Dallas. Let's just leave it at that. Just because, like, I don't know. I don't know if other people can relate to that, but...
For sure. I went to school in Louisiana and would tell people, I'm from Montgomery, Texas. They're like, what is that? Conroe? I don't know.
Oh.
Houston?
You know what I think?
Oh, okay. Montgomery? Yeah, I got it.
I think of Beyonce, because she's from
Beyonce.
What's it? How do you say it? Montgomery. Montgomery County.
Montgomery County.
But yeah.
You know, when people always tell me, oh, I'm from this county, I always get lost because I'm only familiar with... Harris County, if that makes sense, because I mean, to be fair, like I came here from abroad, like from an international background, and when I came here to the U.S. for the first time, I was just not aware, like, oh, county, what county am I in? And then the voter lady from college says, "You're in Harris County." I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you."
Yeah. So. I mean, just being in a bigger city like Houston or Dallas, there is just so much more opportunity as well. Yeah. What was your experience, or do you feel that there was that bigger opportunity change?
For sure. Yeah. I think it's just because of where I'm from. Dallas feels so much more competitive.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It just does. Like, there's so many more bigger advertising agencies, I think. Like, there's Saatchi & Saatchi.
Oh, yeah.
In Dallas. Like, they're a bigger agency. I mean...
Yeah, Dallas does have a really big club there, too, with
advertising. Oh, yeah. AAF.
Yeah, right. AAF and the Attu club there, too.
Oh, Attu.
They actually have two different Dallas clubs, technically. There is the main Dallas club, and then there's the one... Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
There's a... Okay, back to the episode. So... There's the Dallas and then there's the Fort Worth chapters, and they both usually they don't compete. Well, they just have to like split out their membership, because if you live in the Fort Worth area, I'm sure it's more convenient to drive to a Fort Worth event. But
yeah,
I think it's the same situation with Houston, where I guess like just to get across from Dallas to Fort Worth, it's like a 40-minute drive. Just to get from where I live to Houston, it's a 40-minute drive. So. Yeah. I don't know why there's no club in, like, Huntsville. or something.
Exactly. And I mean, that's because I think everybody's migrating to the big city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just such a hub. But to answer your question, Cameron, like, I feel like it's less competitive here in Houston. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you want to be more about the community, which I definitely am, then come to Houston. Because, like, people, there's just more care here. You know, I feel like it's not as, oh man, with peace and love. I'm not trying to be rude, but it's not as fake.
With peace and love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Like a genuine care. Like genuine care. Want for people to like connect and to collaborate.
And if you'll notice. And if you'll notice, like all the advertising agencies, they all know of somebody. Somebody knows somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Even the stations, like, here, iHeartMedia, you know, you have KHOU, KUHF, all these, like, but they all know of the others. And so,
it's a growing space. And if anything, like, with the way that this community is kind of growing towards, it's more of a collaborative environment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's always 100%. The big talk about, like, gig work and all that stuff. That's a factor that comes to it. Because if anything, a lot of people are able to get into positions just through gig work at the beginning to then transition to a full-time position. And that's typically a conversation that I interact with college students or with people that just recently graduate. Yeah, because, you know, there are three ways. Either the traditional route where you apply for an actual position that's available. There is the gig way where you do work for this client consistently, build good rapport, and if something opens, you get a immediate direct link, good That's recommendation, good you get automatic, you, it's an easier way in.
That's a good point.
And then there's also the internship, which is like low pay, but higher reward. I usually try to help a lot of people get into internships and things like that, especially with new members or prospecting members, because if anything, like you mentioned, like everybody deserves a chance. Yeah, and and if anything, just being able to chat with them is a really big, important thing, especially when it comes to looking at people's futures. Where do they grow? And, you know, speaking of future, let's look at the future for you. I mean, where do you see yourself in the next few years?
Ooh. Well, I'm kind of having an identity crisis.
Uh-oh.
And it happens.
Yeah, and I guess it's like our 20s, and it's just like, here's the thing, like, I'm going to be fully honest. Like, I was having thoughts, like, in the past month of, like, do I want to go into healthcare? Oh. And then how the heck am I going to do that? Am I going to have to go back to school just to get, you know, be a little pediatric nurse? Or I mean, I don't want to do that, but it's just like, you know, when you are thinking of a career change, it's, you kind of get scared because it's like, do you have to go back to ground zero? And I was talking to my therapist, shout out. I was talking
about therapy's important.
Pop off mental health. Yes. We love to see her.
Love her.
Love her. you know, I was talking to her and she was just like, why don't you start looking at what you can do with your master's like degree and like all the different things that you can do? Because like I said in the beginning, like there's so many things you can do with a degree like that. And so she's like, why don't you start looking up topics or different things you can do? I know I love mental health. I know I love, you know, people, helping people. You know, does that turn into health care or does that turn into mental health? It's, you know, it's kind of like that game where you just kind of like cancel things off mm-hmm. just like weigh pros and cons a little bit mm-hmm. and just kind of like get it down to where it seems like you will enjoy the most when you're about to make a career change or like not even a career change. I don't think I'm going to make a big jump like that.
Yeah.
But just like a change in pace, I guess.
Yeah. Something that's different. Like sometimes I hear from my wife whenever she's tired from work, it's like, oh, I'm just mm-hmm. going to quit and start a coffee shop in the valley or something.
Pop off.
Usually it's always something in line with like, oh, I want to start a small business. I want to do something that goes with like my craft and use my skills to do something fun. Mm-hmm. And I think those things are important, especially with mental health, like ways to de-stress, right? That's really important.
Your little hobbies.
Yeah. There's always important. I think the moment when your hobby becomes your job, that's when it does not become fun or relaxing. Like I used to be, what was it, back when I started out design, I used to just treat it as a hobby. I was like learning Photoshop. I was learning Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, people were like, oh, I'll pay you this much to do a very bad logo. I was like, done. But then the moment when more work started coming in, I was just thinking to myself, uh-oh.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah.
How you're saying your hobby should not turn into work.
It shouldn't. Because, like, if anything, it's what makes you happy. Some people mm-hmm. might pick up robotics or do, like, random things. Like, for example, start a YouTube channel. Continue your... exactly.
But here's the thing, like, I don't know, Alex. Just because, like, that can... That's such a strong... It's such a
I say do what you love, and if it helps, if you can make money doing it, then sweet.
But I guess it goes either or.
Yeah, exactly.
It
depends on the person.
Yeah, because if Jacob loves being in the studio all day, like, and it's his job, like, more power to you. Mm-hmm. If you enjoy it. But then I also see where you're coming from, where it's like, you're so busy, you're having a lot of fun, but it becomes stressful.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Deadlines. People are keeping...
But you're still doing your favorite thing.
Exactly.
And so it's like, how does that, and maybe that goes back to time management, you know, or like.
Or asking for help.
Literally asking for help. We all hate, I don't know about y'all, but I hate asking for help.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think it's all just like, you want to just like do it yourself.
You know, and that's the thing like, as well, like helping my team, especially with the group, it's always just like people have their life's going on. You know, there was like, my favorite example was when Caitlin, she had her wedding planned as well. And I noticed that she wasn't able to do X, Y, and Z. And she mm-hmm. just recently got promoted. And I'm just like, okay, I see what's going on.
Yeah.
So I told her, hey, I got this, you know, focus on your thing. Mm-hmm. You're still involved. You're not leaving. You're fine. Cause that was like always the thing. It's like, when you ask a person to just step back a bit, mm-hmm. there's always just like, you have to be reassuring, saying, hey, mm-hmm. you're going to be fine. We are a team. We're able to support each other.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a job, right? Like, this is more of something that we're doing for fun. We want to build something great for the community. Mm-hmm. But we also have to show responsibility. Mm-hmm. And obviously being able to depend on each other is important. Like when I was getting married, I had to ask my team, please help with this while I'm gone. Like I even had like I was planning my engagement and then I had my wedding back to back. It was ridiculous. At least
busy.
I counted on my team to support for the most part, and it was fun. Like I enjoyed my time. I got back and then I was just like, okay, I'm back to this again.
yeah And it's just we help really well picking up the pieces to other people. And like, that's another thing of coming to join us, and just, we're all good people, you know, like we're not going to be mean to you or like say, oh, you got to figure it out. You know, our role of this club is to always be a helping hand mm-hmm. and just open up our resource.
Yeah. Open up our shared experiences.
Yeah.
Learn, pick up new skills.
Yeah. Trauma bond.
Kind of. Back on the where you see yourself in the next few years
crap.
With your with your potential of maybe doing something different, would you ever consider starting your own agency or business?
Absolutely not.
No.
That's just not me.
Maybe not in the industry, but in anything, would you ever?
Ooh.
Like starting your own business, like you pick up a hobby.
I think the only thing I would start is a club. Just because there's not many, there's not money to it. You know, I'm not paying people. It's more of come on your own time, have a good time. There's no pressure. I think that's what I would do. But I would never, I just don't have that mindset of having my own business. Just because, like, it's a lot and it takes a certain type of animal to have your own business.
Oh, yeah.
And you either got to be able to wear lots of hats, you got to be able to tell good news, bad news. Like,
oh, yeah.
all of those things go into it. And I don't want to be, it's because I'm a little planner. That's the bottom line is, like, I'm such a big planner where it's like, I can't plan for things this is so bad. I can't plan for things I can't control.
I can't.
You're like, I can't
control everything.
Literally. I'm the same way.
Yes. And it's like, I'm not, I can't. It's just a lot. And I would rather be a part of something amazing and, you know, just tell later, good luck. I can help you, but it's all, your name's on the door.
Yeah. That's always a funny thing, too. I always realize that agencies, well, not every agency, but some people usually like to incorporate their own names. I guess it's also like a...
Exactly.
It's kind of, I think it's kind of like a, you know, when some people have, they get a kid and they look just like they're themselves and they call them, oh, it's me, Junior.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's her baby, you know?
It's her baby.
And it's like, I guess it just depends on the person.
Yeah, like if they really see themselves being that influential figure.
Exactly.
That's like,
yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, do you see your own company going towards yourself, your legacy, or do you want it to be a part of something bigger that's beyond you?
Yeah, and then there's always the conversations of trying to build something up to then be bought out. And making a bigger profit.
Yeah.
People tend to go with that route. I mean, lately, a lot of agencies that had big names like Decode or 5 Plus 8, I know they recently, well, I'm not sure, like they didn't do any rebrands, but I heard that they were purchased by Gravity Global or something like that.
And somebody just changed their name, Avail.
Yeah, Avail. Brivik Media changed their name. They didn't get bought out, but it was more of like Brivik was originally the founder, and it was like a legacy thing. But then to be respectful and to be more in line with the current direction and the leadership there, Kelly Robinson made the decision to change the name, or her and her team did. That's all that I was able to pick up from
Do you mean Kelly Rodriguez by chance? Or is it Robinson?
Robin, is that the current president?
I thought it was...
Kelly Robinson, I believe, is the... current.
I could be wrong.
Well, it's okay.
Somebody,
you know,
fact check that.
It's okay.
Can we get some people on the team?
Jacob, if you could.
Kelly Robinson.
But yeah, Kelly Robinson. But that goes back to the point of, like, you know, we all know somebody or some name. Somehow we're all able to connect on that.
Yeah.
It's because, like, Houston, yes, it's a big city, but within advertising, that's what's amazing about, like, Ad to Club is that somebody always knows somebody. Yes, it's a big city, but somehow within our advertising industry, we all know somebody. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good part of just being involved in Houston, like Ad to AAF.
AMA, AIGA.
AIGA?
Yeah, AIGA.
How do y'all say it?
AIGA. Don't say AGA. Last time I said that to Dylan, he was actually one of the founding members. He's like, what did you just say?
Oh, snap. Wow.
But it was fun. But yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, a lot of things really come into that side of the spectrum, whether you're starting your own club, your own agency, your own business. I think it really comes down to just the trajectory that you see your impact leaving. But at the same time, you know, just to kind of transition to the end of the show, you know, we are at the end marker here. So do you have any advice for anyone looking into breaking into the industry? Is it taking a master's? Or
honestly, do whatever, you know, makes you happy in the moment. I'm trying not to be as a planner too much just because it gives me anxiety.
I hear you.
So also, like, just be in the moment. I guess I would say if trust your gut, that's a big old deal. Trust that gut, girl. That's your inner self talking to you. And so I would just say, and also here's another thing, put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because there are so many times where, like, we have an event I'm like, I would just want to sit on this couch. I just want to sit on this couch. I don't want to go. But push yourself, you know, push yourself to go, because I promise you, you're going to have a good time when you're out there. I'm in a book club. I'd say join all the little clubs, mm-hmm. join the garden club. You know, there's so many clubs. That's what the best thing about Houston being so big mm-hmm. is that there's so many resources for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not outside of this industry, but like, yeah, you know, just put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't have to go all hard, but like just one at a time.
Yeah. Look around your community or mm-hmm. your neighborhood. If anything, like last year I learned sewing. Because my Ooh. Wife wanted to wow. go to a sewing class, and we found one near where we lived.
What?
Yeah. Like, they were doing adult sewing classes, and then I learned how to make bags for the pickleball event.
Oh, my gosh.
I even learned screen printing.
That's where you made those bags.
Yes. I made the bags. And
we love that.
She didn't. My wife didn't help me. It was all by my seat. All by myself. Like, I went on Etsy. I found a...
Pop off Etsy. We love Etsy.
Yeah. I found all to the self-startups over there. So...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I found somebody that had, like, a dye line for a bag. I made the dye line. I then went to my class. I got instructions like, oh, you need this. And then for screen printing, they offered screen printing. And I was like, oh, maybe I can just time it in to when we do screen printing to make my make the bag. But it never happened. And then I had to buy my own screen printing gear. And that was a fun endeavor.
Wow.
But yeah, I think, like you said, like breaking into your career, get involved, mm-hmm. pick up any little skills. Because like you yeah. said, you can leave a big impact. And
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Cameron, any final remarks?
Yeah. I mean, we're glad to have you on our board here. And you know. We're glad you came up to Pickle Pitch and wow. we got to connect and everything. You've made a big difference in our group, and we're just glad to have you.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Cameron. Cameron's on the rise because yes. you're about to be, are you the, you are the president.
The next.
Incoming.
Yeah. Do we, here's should soon, we not announce that? Months.
Oh, what?
Is it okay to say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can say that.
Yeah, if she's wow. the next president, or better yet, she's going to be the president regardless. Yeah. But, all right. I mean, that's all that we have for today. I mean, Delaney, thank you so much for being here. We really yeah. do appreciate it. And, thanks you know, keep an eye out for the episode to come out on Spotify, on iHeart, Ooh. And iMusic, and all that fun Ooh. Stuff. We are everywhere.
Thank you for joining us today. The Add to Houston Amigos podcast is produced at Radio Lounge. Add to Houston is a collaborative collective of young communication professionals aged 32 and under who are looking to make a difference in the industry. If you would like to become an Amigo, join us at @2houston.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at @2houston. Thank you for listening.